So it was all good.
It's fun. Okay.
It was a fun 4 hours out in the woods.
There's worse things to do with your time, for sure.
Exactly, for sure. Well, I mean, I gotta say, we're maybe slightly tardy with our season wrap up on the podcast. So we actually ended the season June 4th, and here we are June 14th. So we're a little late, but better late than never, right?
Better late than never. I think I had a decent excuse. I was actually out riding my bike that weekend with some some friends out west, which was a great trip. Ran into a ton of our families.
Yeah. So like one weekend you were indisposed, and then the next weekend I was in West Virginia in Snowshoe, which is like the only radio free zone in the country. So internet there is just super weird and sketchy. So it was just not going to happen then. So we're finally able to do it.
That is absolutely true. Haven't been up the Snowshoe a few times. Yep. If you're looking to get away though, it's good.
Yeah, exactly. You will not be connected. Yeah. Exactly right. If you're in the village, but like as soon as you get to the parking lot, it's like sketchy. So yeah. Well, here we are. It's the end of the season. This is the final regular season podcast kind of wrap up show. And I mean, you first season league director, brand new thoughts about it. Your first season, our seventh season.
Yeah. That's still going to take a while to process for sure. One, all types of awesome. I tell a lot of my friends, hashtag dream job. The idea that I get to spend my time helping get kids on bikes all across North Carolina is fantastic. And learned a ton, I'll be quite honest, in the first season. We've got good folks, Sean, like you and the staff. Awesome. Got great coaches out there, got great kids. And it was a ton of fun seeing how it all comes together and how we pull some things off. And we learned a ton. Maybe we talk a little bit about that during this cast, kind of, okay, we tried some new things. Some things went well. Maybe we need to improve some things. And what I mean by time to process, in our announcement section here of the podcast, this morning I'll send out one more reminder, end of season survey, one more day to fill that out. So coaches, parents, student athletes, tell us how it went. Tell us, what went well, what we need to do for next season. Give us your feedback. We absolutely want to hear it so we can use that over the summer. And as we enter the next season, we can just make ourselves better. So yeah, be on the lookout for that. And I'll get the results of that towards the end of the month here. And maybe we talk about a little bit of that on the next podcast.
And to piggyback on that, I've sent out a NICA rule handbook additions and revisions survey for those coaches that kind of have great ideas about things that they see as needing improvement in the actual handbook and how things are done. And so if you have an idea, look for that email. It was sent out to you last week, and fill out that form. We're going to take that form through June 30th. And then we've got to meet with the league rules committee and kind of parse through all of those suggestions and sort of get them into a manageable setup that we can then send to NICA for their approval for addition into our league specific rule book. So be aware that you've got that opportunity, and just take advantage of it if you want to. There is no need to fill it out. If you have nothing to add, you don't need to fill it out. I'm not looking for everybody to fill it out, only if you have something and have some thoughts that you want to share with things that could be added or revised about the handbook that we currently have.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I am somewhat sensitive to the phrase survey fatigue. So we have end of season survey. Hey, give us some thoughts on rule changes. This afternoon, Sean, I'll meet with the NICA analyst to go over our economic impact survey. So all the results are in. If you recall, we asked our folks to tell us how much money you're spending on all of our weekends, lodging and gas and restaurants. So I will see the results of those. this afternoon. And that's going to be really helpful as we engage with new communities over the summer. Our venue survey team will be out throughout the summer looking for new venues and scoping out new trails. Very helpful to tell a community, here's how much money we're bringing to your community. And part of that, Sean, is as we promised, thanks to Industry 9, one of our league sponsors, the folks that filled out every survey. There were five people that filled out all surveys. One of those will win that wheel set from Industry 9 and then some other prizes we have at the league for those five people that spent the time to fill out all five surveys. So thank you, everyone that filled out those surveys. Really, really helpful for us.
Yeah, that data is really important. When we approach cities and towns about, you know, trying to have an event there, it's you can see a hierarchy whenever we're dealing with towns, like really large towns. And cities are just sort of like, it's not that big of a deal, but very small towns, like I'm thinking Elizabethtown and Mayodan, you know, those towns, like we are this humongous sort of economic benefit that just like plops down for a weekend and really has an impact on their community. And they really appreciate that. And you can tell by the way that they welcome us and really kind of try to do everything they can to make our events, you know, work in their area, which is really appreciated. And this kind of data really helps with us quantifying that impact for them.
That's exactly right. And it does sometimes translate into a true tangible financial benefit to the league. And what I mean by that is some of our venues do not charge us a permit fee because they know we're going to invest in that town. Some of the EMS services, you know, don't charge for coming out and supporting us all day on Sunday. And that's really, really helpful. Make our dollar go a little bit more in the league for things like scholarships and loaner bikes and those things we want to do to really help teams and student athletes get on a mountain bike.
All right. And so some of the things that, you know, we've kind of been talking about for wanting to recap, you want to talk a little bit about kind of the season showdown and some of the things that we did there.
Yeah, we tried some new things during season showdown. This season by design, just as a recap, we wanted to invest a little bit more in Team Trail Corps. And wow, over 1,800 hours. I think we tripled some of our previous season performance. So fantastic job to everyone doing Team Trail Corps. We recognized some of those teams and individuals during the award ceremony, during season showdown. And I thank everyone for their patience. That was a little bit long with all of the new awards we had, but I think it was important to recognize Team Trail Corps efforts, particularly here, 2023 Year of the Trail in North Carolina. But we made a deliberate decision early in the season to try a few adventure focused activities throughout the season. And season showdown was one of those, scavenger hunt. I think folks had a really good time on that Saturday, riding their bike around or walking around trying to find all the scavenger hunt activities. So thanks to Shell and the Adventure Committee for putting that together. And, you know, some of the feedback I've received throughout the season, I think we might see it in the survey, is my kid has a great time on the weekend doing course inspection Saturday, doing race on Sunday, but in between, like what is there to do? And I think, you know, that a scavenger hunt or an adventure type of activity on Saturday got up a lot of positive feedback on that. So I think that's one of those things we'll sustain and we'll look to do more of in 2024 to give folks kind of a preview of what we're thinking.
And I know also on those Saturdays, the Trek little adventure course that our Trek sponsors were setting up, that thing was just getting worn out. Like I saw kids just ripping around that little adventure course that they were setting up, and, you know, ramps and skinnies and teeter totters and just all kinds of stuff. And then I would see like coaches going over there and kind of getting in on the action. So that looked like that was keeping quite a few of our really energetic student athletes occupied for quite a while.
Yeah, I had a good conversation last week with Chad Wolf. That's for those listening to the podcast, what does the staff do after the season? Well, we review like we're doing now, and then we talk about what we want to do for next season. So Chad Wolf from Trek, we mark that as a sustain for next season. in kind of our model, Sean. Yeah, adventure that we run on Saturday, while course inspection and grit and everything's going on. And then Sunday, Trek comes in with that hospitality zone, same type of thing, some obstacle courses and ramps and stuff. And I think that's absolutely going to be a sustain. While we're on that, one of the other new things for Season Showdown was our senior recognition. And Trek gave us a ton of support for that. So we used that hospitality zone Saturday evening to gather the seniors together, have some dogs, burgers, and then we went on a night ride on the course. And the seniors loved that night ride. And thanks to Trek for providing lights for those that didn't have any lights. That was super awesome. And then if everyone recalls, the next day when folks showed up to the race course, posters of every senior, picture, team name, all along the snow fencing on the finish line. Trek provided those posters. They printed those for us, no cost to the league. That's some fantastic support. And then we did call-ups for the seniors. Parents got to walk their senior, like a lot of high school sports do, a senior recognition. And then obviously called them up in the podium at the end. And kind of special seeing three of our seniors who had been with the league all seven seasons in season seven here. That was pretty cool. That was a good moment, I think, for everyone.
Definitely. And, you know, something else that we did for that season showdown was a revelation to me. Running Mayodan counterclockwise, that was, I think, my new favorite course of the season for sure, but definitely that made Mayodan like totally different. I really enjoyed it in the counterclockwise direction.
Yeah, same here. I don't ride a ton on our weekends, but on Mayodan, I got out a couple times just to run that course backwards. It was good. Yeah. Kudos to Todd and Ben. Bill Stevens had the idea to run it backwards and then course setting backwards. I think that was good. And that was a lot of positive feedback we got too on that one.
And, you know, other than that, just, you know, those season awards being able to give out. And I really like the pennants and flags that you had made that were given out as season awards. Those were really good as well.
We'll see. Yeah, what folks say. I got some informal feedback, all positive about that. And you started to see flags in the pit zone, John, you know, hanging up the pennants throughout the season. I think that was the idea, you know, just show off some of your accomplishments. Talked with, by example, TC Screen Printing provided those for us. They're our new merchandise provider. Had a session with them last week, and I think we'll sustain that relationship in the next season using TC Screen Printing for merchandise, but we'll also probably continue the flags and pennants for team level awards. Again, a lot of positive feedback on that.
Yeah, that was awesome. And something that I want to say for those teams that are sort of thinking ahead to next season. So our 1800 hours of Team Trail Corps work on the trails, and in talking with Shell Frost about, you know, for my team, which did pretty well with Teen Trail Corps hours, and trying to get more hours over the summer, because now is a perfect time to be doing trail work and working with kids and things like that. What she advised is not to put any Teen Trail Corps hours that you're getting since the end of the season into the pit zone, because when it resets before the next season, all of those will be wiped out. And so what she advised was just keep a log of the hours that are going in now. And then whenever the new season starts, you can input those with their correct dates and get credit for them for the next season. So if you have questions, she can explain it probably far better than I can. Just drop her an email, Shell, Chelle, at NorthCarolinaMTB.org.
Yeah, that's a great point. And let's take just a quick second to recognize Cognitive MTB, one of our league sponsors, but specifically for our Teen Trail Corps program. The reason we were able to give out some of those awards this season was because of them. And I'll put a plug in, because I went there last weekend to their new brew house. Outside Hendersonville, pretty nice. So if you're in that area, stop by, say hi to Austin and Andrea out there with Cotton and MTB.
Yeah, I went out there to pick up something for the league. I can't remember what I was getting from them. And oh, it was the new staff jerseys, I believe. And they were still kind of in the process of remodeling and all of that, fixing that place up. And so it was just a flurry of activity there. And they spared a few minutes to kind of hang out and talk with me, but then you could tell it was like, okay, we got to get back to work. So definitely a place to check out whenever you're going towards Brevard.
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, something that I think is kind of on a unfortunate note for our league sponsors, we actually had a merchandise deal with Kitspo, and they were producing some NCICL branded shirts, and they had a collection for us, and I got one for my wife. But unfortunately, we've lost Kitspo as a business, big impact in the cycling industry. Having seen their stuff firsthand, it definitely was super nice, and that's a real shame for them to no longer be in business. But hopefully, that's just an isolated kind of impact from, I know the pandemic has affected the bike industry a lot, but it seems like all of our other sponsors are incredibly healthy and doing well. So just wanted to recognize them for the things that they were trying to offer to us, and offer a lot of the bike organizations in North Carolina, like G5 Trail Collective, which does the Old Fort Gateway Trails and those sorts of things. So kind of a loss to our community for sure, but thanks for their support as well.
Yeah, appreciate you mentioned that, Sean. That's I was up in Old Fort, and that's a little bit of a loss up there. When you head down to Hillman's, you don't see Kitspo there anymore. But speaking of G5 Collective, and Pisgah Productions was actually running a race there at the Gateway Trails that weekend. I was out there, and again, that's where I ran into some of our NICA family. It's good to see folks still engaged over the summer, even in the off season, getting some mountain biking in. And it's such a wonderful community we've got here in North Carolina.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the rest of the season. So we talked about that season showdown, but let's talk about sort of the big elephant in the room. And that is that for the first time in, I don't know how many years, we actually got to race Dark Mountain. And so that was good. We actually got to race it twice.
Yeah.
So
in a modified course the second time. Again, kudos to the course crew setting that up. I think everyone really enjoyed Lake Loop on the second run.
But the curse of North Carolina continues. We've never had a season with more than four races. And this time we really, I felt like we really hedged our bets and scheduled six events and still only managed four. And I blame Dark Mountain. It's the curse of Dark Mountain. Even though we scheduled it twice, we still lost two other races. So that's unfortunate. And I know you've been talking a lot with Elizabeth Gardner about weather and what our weather's like. And there's always been that kind of like, should we be a fall season? Should we be a spring season? And we really are sort of like trying to do the best we can within the model that NICA currently allows. And there's downsides to both of the seasons. Is it fair to say if we're a fall season, we would start practice in July? Is that correct?
Yeah, fall leagues season opens on 1 July, and typically most leagues put their races September through October, a little bit in November, because then you're pressed up against holidays. And you pretty much want to end by the end of November in a fall league.
And having grown up in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I know that in July, the weather is typically 100 degrees with like 1,000% humidity, and not anything enjoyable to really be outside of air conditioning. So the idea of having practice is probably a little daunting. I know that Todd and Aaron probably would agree, seeing as they're the Fayetteville team. But those people that are sharing those ideas, definitely we hear you and we listen, but understand that we do weigh kind of like all the pros and cons. And currently there's just not a great fit for either place. So we're trying to do the best we can. There's not a silver bullet that by going to a fall league, all of a sudden we're racing five races and everything is all fine and dandy either.
Yeah. And it is a specific question on the survey, end of season survey. If people want to give us their thoughts on that, happy to hear them. Just like you said, as with anything, happy to hear anyone's thoughts on it. It is, obviously weather has been crazy, this year. You know, I would say what Elizabeth shared, our spring weather pattern was a bit anomalous. You know, 9 weekends in a row of wet weather is not the norm, per se in North Carolina, even though we know is a little bit, wetter. And then the other thing, Sean, just with a fall league, I do think this is a key consideration is the fact that, people take vacation. Kids are out from school on 1 July and families are traveling or summer jobs or whatever the case may be. And so you really don't see your student athletes until the end of August, early September. And again, remember, races start September in a fall league. Like that's tough to make sure everyone's ready to do an event thing. But yeah, just like you said, we will take all that into consideration. Just Sean, so we're clear, we will not be a fall league this year. Normal next year, spring 2024. we won't shift that quick.
So here we are, June 14th, announcing that the season starts July 1. Get ready.
Like I said, but you know, let me segue. You know, like the staff is amazing. Did some amazing things, even with some of the things we had to deal with. We learned a lot this season. We decided, let's not do race caps, and we learned how to manage large categories by splitting fields, and that went okay. You know, we'll review that again, timings of fields and the order of the fields and the like. And, but I think we did pretty well with that. And that's probably a sustain if we continue to have those large, categories. One of our, weather, modifications, proved we could run a 1 day event. We have that in our hip pocket. That was the first, Dark Mountain experience. 60-mile, 80-mile-per-hour winds on Saturday. No, we're not doing anything in the woods on Saturday. And then we compressed everything to Sunday. And we learned some things from that, didn't we, Sean?
We did.
Course inspections, like when it's coach-led and we put the general groups together, one-lappers and multi-lappers, the coaches said, that worked great. And we sustained that for the rest of the season. So I think that was good learning. And then the other big takeaway, we learned we could run a compressed schedule. We did that for the second Dark Mountain. Hey, we got to beat this weather system coming in at 3:30 Sunday afternoon. Let's tighten everything up. And then again, for Cedar Showdown, man, awards is going to take, you know, 3 hours with all these awards we're putting out. Let's compress that schedule. And a lot of positive feedback, I think, primarily from all the coaches and parents that have to get in the car on Sunday and drive maybe 3 or more hours. Back home and get kids to school the next day. So we learned some things. I think even with all the challenges, we came away with some positives from that.
For sure. And that was necessity makes you do interesting things. And it was good to see them all work out. But one thing is just how flexible and how much drive there is, not just from our league staff, which is huge. Like we never have ever canceled a race without lots of meetings and perseveration and last ditch trying to make things happen. But flexibility on the parts of our coaches and our teams and our student athletes and their parents to really get things done. Like that was really great to see that people were like, everyone is so invested in making the event happen that it's all hands on deck and everybody does what they can to make it happen. So that was great.
That is a fantastic point. And let me use that as an opportunity to talk a little bit about volunteers, because with all of those changes, all those volunteer schedules had to change as well. And so everyone that came together to make it happen, just like you said, was fantastic to see. And we learned some things about volunteers this season too. I think the home team concept will be a sustain for us going forward. And in the data on that, Diane LeBlanc, Jenny Wood, thank you for doing the analysis on this. Last season, we were about a 70% fill rate on our volunteer slots for any particular weekend. This season, 90% fill rates for volunteers. And in addition, we added almost 100 volunteer slots, particularly on Sunday, because we doubled the number of shifts. A lot of feedback from parents was, I don't have the time to spend 4 hours in the woods on a marshal spot. I'd really like to see my kid race. And we understand that. So we made more shifts, just shorter. So that really doubled the number of spots, and we still had 90% fill rate with that. So kudos to all the volunteers that came out and made that happen this season. It absolutely part of, making the magic happen for us is the volunteers. So thank you for Denny, Giant, everyone involved in making that happen.
And I know, we just had you and I and Shell had a meeting yesterday with TeamSnap, and we are very aware that, like, we've got signups for this year and signups for this year and signups for this year. And, it's like kind of all over the map, like how signing up for different things in the league. And we are trying to explore ways of sort of bringing that together into one kind of cohesive place to make it a little bit easier on everybody. And that was one of the things that we talked with TeamSnap about that we're going to be looking to do again next year. So we are, I think, continuing with TeamSnap for next year for all teams. And we'll be working on our end to get all of that stuff done and set up for everybody. But that, I think, was an interesting idea that somehow we can do a lot more with it to streamline all of our signup processes for lots of different things that aren't the race registration in Pit Zone.
Yeah, and I think that's a message I'll carry forward to the league director conference next week. I'll be in Wisconsin with all the other league directors at the NICA National Conference. And that's the one thing that most league directors and me in particular say NICA can do most for us is streamline our communication and our information technology platforms. I think you and I were joking before we came on the podcast, Sean, about the number of tabs we have open in our browsers. And so the reason that is, at least from my perspective, is I've got a Gmail tab open to communicate in the league. I've got an Iterable tab open, which is my mass communication tool. I've got my website tab open to communicate. I've got my Facebook tab open. I've got my Instagram tab open. I've got my TeamSnap tab open. I've got my, if it's one of those crazy weekends, I've got my weather alert tab open to communicate with the league. Is like, boy, it'd be nice to have like one tab to rule them all. Lord of the tabs.
Exactly. That's what I try to do with everything. Is like, I just want one thing that does a lot of stuff. Like that's what I want. That makes my life a lot easier.
Yeah. And for those of you like you, Sean, and you're running teams as well, like, can we make that easier for the teams to communicate? Definitely on my radar, and we'll do our best to try and streamline some of that stuff going forward.
Well, let's unless you have anything that you want to continue with our look back at season 7, let's shift our gaze forward towards pre-season 8.
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, maybe the next podcast I'll have some results of end of season surveys, and we'll talk one more time about that. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about what's coming up, Sean.
It's coach training season. That's what we got coming up. So if you haven't heard already, I've communicated this a couple of different places, but again, as many places as we can get it out there, coach training for OTBS 101 and WFA CPR AED combined training weekends will be starting in August, on August 5th and 6th. Here is going to be the general layout of each training weekend. So WFA CPR AED training will be hybrid, and that will be offered through Solo Southeast. And so on the days leading up to the weekend, you will have access to the online training modules that you will need to complete prior to Saturday's class. And then Saturday will be the in-person practical part of the WFA. And the that will take place all on Saturday. You'll be over and done, WFA, CPR, AED certified. And then on Sunday, we will run OTBS 101. So the way it will work is the WFA will have 20 slots there are open that go with the OTBS 101 slots of 20 on Sunday. And then there will be an additional set of slots above the number 20 for those coaches that just need to recertify their WFA, CPR, AED. The cost will not be as inexpensive as it was last year. Last year, I had worked out a deal with teaching hospital at Wake Forest. That was sort of a one-time deal, but we are getting a significantly reduced rate from Solo Southeast, and we'll have final pricing and things like that before we start registration. So August 5th and 6th, we're also going to be doing a coach supporter training. So coach supporters will be getting trained on both the Saturday and the Sunday. So those of you that will be attending OTBS 101 on Sunday, you will have teams of three that are giving you your OTBS 101, and one of them will be a coach supporter trainee. The next weekend that we will have training will be August 12th and 13th, then August 26th and 27th, then September 16th and 17th, then the 30th of September and October 1st, and then our league summit is tentatively scheduled for October 7th and 8th. And on our league summit, we should be offering OTBS 201 for those coaches that are interested in 201 and have completed the OTBS 101 at least one season prior to this season. That's coach training in kind of a nutshell. If you have any questions, you can always email me. I've seen people asking questions in the Facebook coaches group. If you ever have questions about like training that are specific to like dates, how much, locations, things like that, just email me, shawn@northcarolinamtb.org. I'm more than happy to give you an answer. I don't typically go on Facebook a lot, so it can be a bit of a time lag if you're asking a question in the forum and looking for other coaches to sort of speculate when you could just ask me and I'll give you the correct answer. The other thing that you need to be aware of with those dates is that we will be starting out in Western North Carolina and ending in Eastern North Carolina. So we will be shifting slowly across the state, typically looking at I think Western North Carolina will be the first two August dates. Central North Carolina will be the next two dates, and Eastern North Carolina will be the last date. And that's the tentative kind of geographic regions that we'll be doing for those dates as well.
To that point of communicating, I'll go to one of my 80 open tabs maybe sometime this week, Sean, and update the website with those dates and, you know, list locations tentative so people have a place to go. And just for everyone's awareness, I'm working with Nike over the summer to completely redesign our website, make it a little more user-friendly, particularly mobile-friendly. I can't see our own website when I pulled up on my phone, which is hard if I'm trying to find the race flyer, you know, or the information.
Yeah, the tabs don't work, yeah.
Yeah. So I hope to be rolling that out August, September, headed into the next season, just a better website. And while we're on Coach Training, I did want to give a thank you to Cutaway Bike Camp, one of our league sponsors. We try and align our sponsors to specific programs within the league, much like Cognitive MTB does Team Trail Corps. Cutaway Bike Camp, because they're a bike camp and training focused, support our coach program, coach training development program. So thank you, Cutaway, for your support for that. And some of our athletes sneak up to Virginia over the summer to do some of their camps. So that's good to see.
So that's kind of the out of season dates to be aware of. And then the 2024 season 8 preview, we're going to open up team and coach registration on September 15th. And then student athlete registration will open up on October 1. Anything you want to add about those key dates?
Only that it aligns fairly well with League Summit 7-8 October. You know, I'm shopping around for some decent locations for that to bring folks together. But really, I view that as kind of our next season launch. 7-8 October. Here's the theme. Here's the general schedule for the season. The activities. Shell is already working on some preseason events, Grit, which everyone is familiar with, but a couple adventure events in the preseason. Let's bring everyone together and get some riding in the preseason. I'm definitely looking forward to some more details to follow on that. But I think that schedule you laid out, Sean, get everyone trained up. League Summit, Moon, we're into the next season and really looking forward to it. It's that mixed feeling here at the end of the season, like, oh, so much stoke, so much goodness. Ooh, yeah, but it was a lot of goodness. So let's give everyone a break over the summer and we'll see everyone again in the fall.
Awesome. You got some sponsorship announcements, and I think this Trek giveaway did pretty okay.
Yeah, I've mentioned Trek already. Again, I'll be at the League Director Conference at Trek headquarters in Wisconsin next week. I will definitely thank them for bringing a lot of good support to this league. Things like the senior recognition, the hospitality zone, that's all fantastic. But that Trek giveaway, record-setting number for the league this season, $15,000, over $15,000 raised, which is money right back into this league and right back into the teams. Went through the list a week or so ago with all the teams cut, so to speak. So those checks should literally be in the mail to those teams for team purposes and the like. So great job, everyone, getting the word out. You know, we'll do that every year for sure. But again, it's that injection of funds to the league, which lets us do things like keep costs low, scholarships, loaner bikes, all those good things is fantastic. And then the only sponsor I don't think I mentioned along the way, and I should have when we were talking about some of our adventure things, is Fidlock, brand new league sponsor. They've got those magnetic bottle and case attachments for your bike. A lot of our folks may have seen them near our adventure areas. During the weekends, they sponsor our adventure program. Very much appreciative of their support for that program, because we're going to try and do more with adventure next season. So thank you to Fidlock for bringing the support you did this season.
And just to kind of talk a little bit about the podcast and sort of talk about what we'll do over the summer, we will do episodes of the podcast over the summer that will be kind of briefer and maybe give just a little bit of news about sort of what the league staff is up to. This is sort of a busy time for league staff. I don't think people realize like how much work league staff does in the off season from NICA to get ready for the next season and all the things that are being done. But there'll be venue surveys. It seems like the meetings that we have get more, even though you reduce our league staff meetings. It seems like we've got meetings with lots of other people. So definitely we're busy trying to get set for the next season and make things even bigger and better. And we'll give some updates on that through the summer, kind of on the same schedule that we have been, but a little bit briefer. But one thing we will not deviate from ever is the closing dad joke. And so, Brian, you are so proud of yours, you even wrote it down in the agenda. So you want to go first?
I'm not sure it was a pride thing. It was just so I didn't forget by the end of our podcast. But
that's a real dad joke.
Yes, for sure. But maybe because one, I live on the coast, so I'm a flatlander usually, and I just had that trip out to the mountains a couple weeks ago. Dad joke for this go round is, why are mountains the funniest place to go for summer vacation?
Why are they the funniest place to go for summer vacation?
Because they're hill areas.
Oh, I saw that in the notes, and it didn't get any better in the telling.
People wait the entire podcast.
Well, mine I discovered simply by accident. So I've been learning Norwegian. You got to spend some time in Norway. I've been learning Norwegian for over a year now, Duolingo every day. But I kind of in what I was doing, I sort of discovered by accident that the Vikings actually, so there's the spoken language and the written language, and then they had a way of communicating that was like they would go into battle and they would have a way to communicate over long distances by sort of beating on their shields, and it's called Norse code. So
I love it, mainly because I served with a Norwegian officer in my last little bit in the Marine Corps, and he started most of his briefs to the Marines saying, Norway doesn't currently have a Marine Corps. We haven't had one since the age of the Vikings, essentially. that one hits close to home, John. That was I'm going to tell him Norse code. I got to text him.
Absolutely. And then ask him if he can explain to you the V2 rule.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. See what he comes back with. That is the most confusing thing about Norwegian grammar for me.
I will definitely do that. Ingvar, you got a text coming your way, man.
All right. Well, until we talk again, got anything that you want to close with?
No, just say everyone have a great summer. I know you'll get some riding in, and would love to see you out there during the summer.
Absolutely.
Keep it safe.
Awesome. We will see you soon.
All right.